So back in the days when the Bible was coming together, and specifically when the Psalms were being written in the 8th century before the Common Era, and when the prophet Isaiah was in business in the 7th century before the Common Era, or in the 1st century of the Common Era when Mark was doing his things, computers and laptops were sort of few and far between. The internet and the World Wide Web was scattered at that time, so people turned to newspapers to know what was going on in the world. So I recently spent some time with the highest circulation newspapers of that time, and they were the Jerusalem Daily News, the Israel National Enquirer, the Galilean Post, the Judean Free Press, and the Bethlehem Gazette. I found that the headlines were striking and not all that different from the headlines of today. Here's just a sampling of what I found. Terror strikes the city, Jerusalem falls to the Assyrians. Babylonian exile ends, land battles and power struggles erupt. Rulers not being just to the poor. People fear the end of the world is coming, don't know what to do. Well, for each of these headlines, for each of these centuries of human history, there is a response in Holy Scripture, first from the psalmist, then from the prophet Isaiah, and then from Mark. Let's take a listen.
From the Psalms, a prayer to God to save us from the troubles of the world. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, stir up your might, and come to save us. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in full measure. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. From the prophet of Isaiah, a call to do what is right. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. From the Gospel of Mark, a call to keep awake in the midst of the world's trials and tribulations. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of God, man, coming in clouds with great power and glory. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Charlotte, Daniel, Rachel, Olivia, Josephine, Anna, Dylan, Dawn, Madeline, Catherine, Chase, Jesse, James, Grace, Nancy, Anne, Emily, Adam, Jack, Noah, Caroline, Jessica, Aviel, Lauren, Mary, Victoria, Benjamin, Allison. Francine Wheeler, mother of 5-year-old Benjamin, killed 5 years ago, December 14th, has said, "I can't live the rest of my life not talking about him. I mean, imagine you having a 6-year-old and then you don't anymore. Are you going to stop talking about them? The worst thing you can do to a grieving parent is not to mention the child. Then you're not acknowledging his existence. And so when people do acknowledge it, I'm so appreciative. I say, thank you, thank you. And even if I'm crying, I say, you didn't make me cry. You brought him back." Well, we know that we can't really bring Ben back or any of the other children killed that sad and tragic day in Newtown, or any of the people, for that matter, killed in Las Vegas, Columbine, Sutherland Springs, Orlando, Virginia Tech. Neither can we bring back, let alone name, the more than 15,000 children who die each and every day from hunger, or the thousands of people who die from unexpected natural disasters. Neither can we bring back the 22 American veterans who commit suicide each day all year long, or the victims of opioid, drug, or alcohol addiction, or bring back loved ones who have suffered from mental illness or died of cancer. Well, if we can't actually bring any of these people back, maybe there is something we can do. I was struck also by the words of Nelba Marquez Green, mother of 6-year-old Anna Grace of the Sandy Hook Elementary School, who responded to the Orlando nightclub shooting in this way. Anna's brother's eyes were full of tears, and he said, "Mom, why are people so mean? Why would they do this?" And I just looked at him and said, "Son, some people just don't have enough love in their heart. And that's our job, to make sure love wins." And isn't that our job also? As an Advent people of hope, peace, joy, and love, isn't it also our job to make sure that love wins for the children of our world? Nova's open letter to those who lost someone when 49 were gunned down in that Orlando nightclub shooting went viral. In that letter, Nova describes how hearing about the Orlando shooting took her back to the horror she felt as one of those waiting to hear the news at Sandy Hook. "I am sorry that our tragedy here in Sandy Hook wasn't enough to save your loved ones. I tried and I won't stop trying. I tried and I won't stop trying." Many of you perhaps know this, but the parents of those Sandy Hook children have not stopped trying, nor are they only concerned about one issue. Yes, of course, they're concerned about common sense gun control legislation, but they also have a concern for mental illness, as well as the well-being of our world's children, very much that's in their hearts and in their actions. Next April, our nation will be marking the 50th anniversary of the death by gun violence of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." The parents of the Sandy Hook children simply refuse to be silent about things that matter, nor should we. Francine and David Wheeler reported that son Ben was smart and he was funny. A few years ago, David Wheeler reflected, "Our home is very quiet now." Well, David Wheeler has filled that quiet with a shout to parents everywhere. I would like them to look in the mirror, David has said. I mean, literally find a mirror in your house and look in it and look in your eyes and say, this will never happen to me. It's going to happen again. And every time you know, it's somebody else's school, it's somebody else's town, it's somebody else's community, until one day you wake up and it's not. So even on this first Sunday of Advent, when we celebrate the hope that is in us as people of faith, it would be so easy to look in the mirror and not see the hope, but rather a reflection of an often sad and tragic world. The recent headlines of this 21st century could easily overwhelm us. Headlines such as, after hurricane, signs of a mental health crisis haunt Puerto Rico. Gunman kills at least 26 in attack on rural Texas church. Militants kill 305 at a Sufi mosque in Egypt. Human trafficking rife in Rohingya camps. The opioid epidemic, a crisis years in the making. Why 20 million people, more than half children, are on the brink of famine in a world of plenty. Proposed plan would limit legal immigration. On the world stage, US students falling behind. So, David, where is the hope? In this crazy and often tragic world of ours, exactly where can we find and see the hope? Friends, I'm looking at the hope. I'm looking at the hope. It has been said that the world belongs to those who bring it the greatest hope. The world belongs to those who bring it the greatest hope. That means this world belongs to us. That's right, this world belongs to us and to other people who bring it the greatest hope. And that hope is not some starry-eyed, pie-in-the-sky, wishful thinking. It is real. You see, the way I look at it, we read those daily headlines and we really just have two choices. Either we say there's nothing that we can do, that nothing can be done, that nothing that you or I can do, so we just simply adopt a philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. Or we believe that we can and we do make a difference. And again, as people of faith, that first choice, to do nothing, is simply not an option. You see, we bring hope to this world when we feed the hungry, when we house the homeless, when we care for the sick, the elderly, and the bullied. We bring hope when we march for peace, advocate for gun control legislation, when we fight for the poor. We bring hope when we sponsor a refugee family, welcome the alien, and fight plans to limit legal immigration. We bring hope when we work to curtail global warming, provide a safe space for youth and children here at First Church, and when we knit prayer shawls. We bring hope when we sort onions and turnips and help urban children learn about fruits and vegetables and gardens. You see, this world truly belongs to us. After Sandy Hook, Connecticut poet laureate Dick Allen was at first hesitant to try and write a poem that might offer a measure of support to the families and to a grieving nation. But then, after a few months had passed, the phrase, snow lightly falling, would simply not leave his head. And so he sat down and penned a poem that was later put to music by composer William Balcom. I invite you to listen to this poem, Solace. There are the fields we'll walk across. in the snow lightly falling, in the snow lightly falling. There are the fields we'll walk across, there are the houses we'll walk toward, in the snow lightly falling, in the snow lightly falling. There are the houses that we'll walk toward. There are the faces we once kissed. In the snow lightly falling, in the snow lightly falling, there are faces we once kissed. Incredible how we laughed and cried in the snow lightly falling, in the snow lightly falling. Incredible how we laughed and cried. Incredible how we'll meet again in the snow lightly falling, in the snow lightly falling. Incredible how we'll meet again. No small hand will go unheld in the snow lightly falling, in the snow lightly falling. No small hand will go unheld. No voice once heard is ever lost in the snow lightly falling, in the snow lightly falling. No voice once heard is ever lost. No small hand will go unheld. That is our hope. That is our calling. That is what our God is asking of us, that no small hand will go unheld.
In the snow lightly falling, in the snow.